We exalt you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We exalt your name. Lift you high, Lord God. Jesus, Jesus, we praise you. That name that's above every name. Let every knee bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, as you're seated, let's thank these singers and musicians and choir. Didn't they do a wonderful job? Hallelujah. You know, I just think each Sunday morning a miracle takes place. We don't even recognize it. The choir stands there the whole time. They've been standing there for 46 minutes. Hallelujah. Amen. That's miraculous to me. Praise the Lord. Well, what an honor it is to be here on a Sunday morning at Rhema Bible Church and to have the opportunity, as Pastor Bob said, of course, Pastor Mrs. Hagen being about their duties as the head of Kenneth Hagen Ministries and as the president, Pastor Hagen is the president of Rhema Bible Training Colleges all over the world. Mrs. Hagen is the director of all the schools worldwide as they are there and with the folks in Australia who are also overseers of the school in Papua New Guinea, and then looking at some, you know, other things like that. And then they get to go to Samoa and be a part there. And I know they're actually teaching in the school in the morning, and they've opened that up to the public starting Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And thank God for our pastors and all the work that's being done around the world, and really in a greater role than just pastoral, as they fulfill what God has put the mandate upon Rhema to be. Amen? To take the message of faith, to take the message that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, glory to God, Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost, and thank God Jesus is coming back again. Amen. And we have good news today. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bible with you, I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Today is Communion Sunday, and we would just be going through a powerless ritual today by observing communion without knowing and having what I want to call today, having faith in the power of the resurrection. If Jesus, we're not going to turn to in our scriptural list today, but I just want to remind you that Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because there were some that doubted the resurrection. There's always been those that doubt the resurrection, and in fact, the Sadducees of the Jewish council and the Jewish ministry didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead, and we'll see a scripture related to that here in just a moment, but it's always been on, but Paul said this: if Jesus is not raised, then we are still in our sin. And we are still separated from God. And I thank God that we're not separated from God this morning. I thank God. Thank God. Now, in talking about the resurrection, some folks, you know, get nervous that we're going to make light of the cross. What Christian in their right mind would make light of the cross? Thank God for the cross. But the plan of redemption didn't end there. Amen. Jesus didn't stay there. He went, he died on our behalf, but thank God he rose again. And he's seated at the right hand of God. And Paul, in his prayer here in Ephesians chapter 1, this prayer that is prayed for Christians, these are things that Paul said. Paul prays these things, that not that we would know them before we became a Christian, but that we would know them even after we are children of God. This book's written to the saints and to the faithful. That's you and I. And he says in verse 16, I want to read this down through the end of this chapter. It says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. The you there would be the saints and the faithful, or you and I today. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or which he demonstrated in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things, everybody say all things, under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things, say all things again, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So Paul prays here for every Christian. We ought to pray this for ourselves. You know, if you've read from Brother Hagin or listened to what Brother Hagin or listened to some of the teaching, he talked about, he began to pray this, started seeing something here and began to, he laid his Bible open in the church altar, lived next door in the parsonage, laid his Bible on the altar there. And he said at least twice a day, he'd kneel at the altar and would pray this prayer for himself. You can pray this prayer for yourself. You can pray this prayer for other Christians. The spirit of wisdom and revelation, revelation that comes from God in the knowledge of him, that our the eyes of our understanding, that the light would go on, that we might know. Well, there's three things there. The hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and then what I want to talk about today, the exceeding greatness of his power. What kind of power? Resurrection power. What is that? He said, and it's to us who believe. He's talking now, thank God, you know, we understand, and we'll see in scripture today that the resurrection, if without for the resurrection, you know, that's what we have to believe to get born again or saved, if you will, that Jesus is alive today. But what is that to us now? We're all, many or maybe most in the room are already Christians. You've already experienced the new birth. But what does that resurrection power have for you today, you Christian? Amen? Is it just something that happened one time? Or is it something that we are supposed to be living in and experiencing? Yes, we're to live and experience in that resurrection power. Now, in Matthew chapter 22... Matthew chapter 22, I want us to turn over there if you would please. How many of you believe in God with us this morning? For utterance, glory to God. Hallelujah. I know I talked a little bit about this, not this past one, whenever it was, when was that? Last Wednesday of May. And the Sunday before that, I was in Guatemala City at Lluvias de Gracia, the Showers of Grace Church there in Guatemala City. And this subject, I was, as I was preparing for this week, this sermon this morning, I just couldn't get away from this. And the Lord just kept dealing with me about this. So I'm just going to keep talking about it till I get it talked out. How's that? Does that work out for you? Works for me, but... Sometimes that's the way things go. But here in Matthew 22, the Sadducees, they're questioning him about, you know, the resurrection. And they bring up this story of, you know, the woman that is married and she goes through all these brothers, you know, that die. And she's in their tradition passed on to each. Well, let's say it this way. As the brothers passed on, she passed on to the next brother. And so now she's outlived seven. And they want to know who in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the resurrection. In the resurrection, whose wife is she? Well, Jesus made a statement here in verse 29. I want you to see here. He said, for you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Now, Jesus is talking here again about the power of the resurrection. Because based on the context of what he's speaking of, we know that the power he's talking about here is resurrection power. And he told them, you're in error because you don't know the scriptures concerning that. Paul prayed that we would know that power, the exceeding greatness of that power, that we would know. So the first and the foremost source of knowledge concerning that has to be the scriptures or the word of God. Now, a lot of times we want to talk about power, you know, and we talk about how we felt. We felt. And thank God. Thank God this is a power you can feel. I'm not making light of that. How many of you are glad you can feel the power? Thank God for that. But you know, the power is present whether we can feel it or not. Whether you've had a goosebump yet today or not, the power's here. Amen. Whether the hair stood up on the back of your neck or not, the power of God's in you if you're a believer. Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3. He said that the God who can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's to us as we believe and in us. Glory to God. That power. But thank God, whether you feel that power or not, it's there. It's here right now. Amen. I mean, if I was the only one here, the power of God would be here because it'd be in me. But thank God I'm not the only one here. Now, there are, you know, manifestations of that power, and we thank God for that. And sometimes, you know, that power goes into greater manifestation, especially when we come together and corporately, together like we are today. I'm reminded of the Old Testament. The Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Aren't you glad? What happens when we all get together? We see the exceeding greatness of that power. Well, it raised him. Look at John chapter 20. Knowing the scriptures, knowing the word of God, is going to be an entryway, if you will, a doorway into the power of God. Now here in John chapter 20, Mary has gone to the tomb. And she saw the stone was taken away. And John's account, she took off running and went back and told Peter, and as John called himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And you realize, by most indications, John wrote this gospel after Peter had already gone home to be with the Lord, but he's still kind of giving it to Peter a little bit because he has to point this fact out that he outran Peter to the tomb. And then once they got there, you know, Peter, the uncouth fella, he just barged right in. John got there first and stopped, you know, very reverently and holy. But Peter just barged right in. But notice what it says concerning them. Verse 9. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. See, the scripture is the indication. I'm going to tell you this. If you never, ever had a physical sighting of Jesus after he went to the cross, after his resurrection, if you just had the scripture, you can believe in the resurrection. Because the power of the resurrection is contained in the word of God. And every time you act and I act on the word of God, that power goes into operation. Now look over in John chapter 11. Remember, Jesus had a friend named Lazarus who died. And he took a few days, you know. Finally showed up. They've already, you know, have already done the work, put him, wrapped him up, put him in the tomb that they were going to have him in. And let's pick up in verse 20, John chapter 11 and verse 20. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said unto her, thy brother, your brother, shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He said. She said, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Notice what Jesus said here. Now here Martha's faced with a situation. But she knows this about Jesus. Whatever you ask of God, and I've seen whatever you say, it'll happen. And he said, your brother will live again. And then she missed it. You know, she said, well, yeah, I know in the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. And he said, no, you don't understand. I am the resurrection and the life. I am. When God said that to Moses back there in Exodus chapter 3, I am that I am. What does that mean? Right now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, right now. I am the resurrection, he said, and I am the life. Do you believe this? Now notice, it was to her, she had to believe. One place in Matthew, Jesus asked two blind men, came, they said, have mercy on us. Jesus said, do you believe I'm able to do this? They said, yes. And he said, it's according to your faith. See, it's important that we have faith in that power. But here, she didn't realize standing in front of her was the resurrection and the life. Let's look in Luke chapter 24. You see these emblems that we have here today, this cup of juice and this little wafer of styrofoam bread, bread that we have here today. Come on, how many of you are little kids, if you ever had that, you thought, this is styrofoam. When I was little, I thought, what? In our church, we had these, Then I remember we had one pastor that decided when I was growing up that they were going to have a loaf of bread, and everybody came to the altar and took a piece out of that. The health department shut you down for that now, but, we had that, But it was, anyway. But these are just symbols. But they would just be, that's all they would be, was be symbolic. They'd have no meaning if it wasn't for the resurrection. If Jesus was still in the grave, if Jesus wasn't alive today, we'd all be wasting our time here today. But thank God we're not wasting our time. Hallelujah. He is alive. Luke chapter, 24. Look at verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living, glory to God, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's alive, glory to God. He's raised from the dead. And glory to God, when he raised up Jesus from the dead, when I put my faith in him, I experienced the same resurrection. I've been raised up from the dead. I'm alive unto God, glory to God. My spirit that was separated from him by sin, that's been done away with. He imputed my sin upon Jesus, and by faith, I'm risen with him. We are alive in Christ. Don't look for me in that old dead stuff anymore. You won't find me there. I'm alive unto him. Amen? Hallelujah. And they said that he said this, he's not here but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. John chapter 20. Thank God. These disciples, they were the ones, they were the eyewitnesses of the resurrection. And they passed down to us. But this was something that Jesus had talked about. It was something that when you put together all the prophecies of the old covenant and the prophets, you see it, looking back on it, you can see it, that these things were true. John chapter 20 here, this is after Jesus here, he's going to appear to his disciples. Verse 19, let's start with. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he showed unto them his hands, his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now I want you to notice here, first of all, that as Jesus appears to them, standing there in the very midst, that he showed them his hands and his side. All right, he gave them evidence, and the disciples were glad they saw the Lord, and he talked to them. Now, verse 24, because I want you to notice, we give Thomas a rough time here, but they saw the Lord too, and he showed them evidence. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, Had they seen the print of the nails in his hands? Yes, he'd shown it to them. And put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now notice, he made a decision here. Now he made a decision based upon the fact that he had not seen, a decision that you and I, that every person in the world has to make the same decision. You haven't seen the print of the nails in his hands. You haven't seen, you know, the sword, the wound in his side. You haven't seen the print of the nails in his feet. But yet, he is alive. Will you choose to believe it? You see. He said, Thomas said, I will not. He made a decision. And you know, it is a decision. That's why the Bible says, whosoever will. Whosoever will believe. John 3. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 2 and in Romans chapter. Whosoever will call. So you can't violate that. I call it the law of the whosoever. I don't know if it's a law or not, but it to me, it's a spiritual principle. That whosoever. Thomas said, I will not believe. You see, your belief and my belief either looses or limits the power of the resurrection. Do you believe? Do I choose to believe? That's why Paul prayed that we might know the power. That power of his, that we might have the exceeding greatness of that power. I mean, it's great. It exceeded all greatness. I mean, think about the power that brought heaven and earth into existence. If words mean what they mean, what they really mean, and I do believe they do. I can't say that again, don't ask me. But if what Paul prayed there, the greatest example of God's power ever exhibited was not the creation of the world. It was the raising of Jesus from the dead. And that power is to us who believe. Thomas said, I will not believe. Well, if you don't believe, you're not going to be affected by the power. You've limited that power, its ability to function in your life. He said, I will not believe. But you know what? People all the time say, I will not believe, but God doesn't give up. I thank God the Holy Spirit hasn't given up on one yet. He's going to keep coming. That's why I keep praying, Lord, send laborers. Lord, send laborers into their life. Amen. Now, unfortunately, some have given up on God, but I don't know one yet God's given up on. They may turn from God, but his love is still there. But I want you to see that you know, because we hear a lot sometimes, you know, about, you know, well, the finished work of Christ. Yes, Jesus finished that part of the work. Thank God it's finished. But you have to believe it. It's not going to affect you unless you believe it. It's not going to affect folks out there unless they believe it. That's why we have to preach it. How can they call upon him whom they've not heard? How can they hear? You might as well laugh at yourself. I mean, everybody else is going to laugh. How can you hear unless you preach? That's why it's important that we take every opportunity that we have to share the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's keep reading here. Let's not leave Thomas in this position. Verse 26. After 8 days again, the disciples were within and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither your finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know, you may have had Jesus appear to you, I don't know. But thank God, he said, blessed are those that believe and have not seen. How many blessed folks we got in here? Wave your hand at me. Hallelujah. Blessed. 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 That prophet in the old covenant, they tried to hire him. Curse these people. He said, you can't curse whom God has blessed. I don't care how much money you got. Ephesians 1 says, we're blessed. with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We're blessed today. And you can't curse whom God has blessed. January of 2001, I arrived in Nairobi. I was picked up by my host. We got to the place we were staying, and he told me, he said, he came to my room after we'd gotten settled in. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, yeah, what's happening? He said, young Ben has died. Ben Onyego was a young man who we had through Family Worship Center in Carrollton, Kentucky. I was part of that. We were part of that church 6.5 years on staff there. We had helped young Ben go to Bible school. Paul and Mary Burt, who are graduates of here, had a Bible school in Bungoma, Kenya, and we paid his way through there, him and another young man. And then we had started a Bible school there in Muhoroni, where one of the Rhema campuses is now. And through Vidar and Kathy Lagarde, they're directors of that. But they were the Bible school teachers, these young men. And he had died, and he told me the story that he had gone home for the Christmas holiday, and as he was leaving, he came across a man who was a practicing witch doctor. Now here we don't think that those things necessarily operate in the world. We don't necessarily see it as overt, but there in other places it is. And this man's mode of operation was that if I greet you, then I put a curse on you. If he just walked by you, but he saw him coming on the path. And the man said to him, young Ben, it looks like they're feeding you well at that Bible school. And the young man, bless his heart, not understanding this principle that you can't curse whom God has blessed. Now, he'd been taught the authority of the believer, but if you don't learn to walk in it, if you don't learn to believe in that power, and you don't act upon it, it won't do you any benefit. You'll limit the power of God. And he turned around and went home and told his mother, mother, if you hear that I've died, that's okay. Know that we all must die someday. Well, long story short, a week later, this young man's dead. Nothing they could do about it. They'd pray, and they prayed, and they'd get him relief sometime, and they went to the hospital. They said, there's no reason this young man should be dead. I arrived a week later and was there, and he told me about that. And so I didn't realize, you know, most of the time when I go places, you know, I just be prayed up, be studying. But 2 months before that, in November of 2000, the Lord had started to impress me on, I want you to teach on the authority of the believer when you're in Kenya this year. I'd never taught on the subject. Of course, read the books and studied it and operated as best I could in it, but never really taught on it. So began, and I realized why. Well, at that very meeting, the things had been stirred up in that area anyway, and they had put posters up that we were coming. And, well, I was actually there by myself on that trip, that I was coming. And they told me when I got there, now, certain such and such people known as witch doctors here, they've said they're coming to the meetings. They're going to curse you. And I told them, go personally invite them. Ask them to come. Let them come, glory to God. You can't curse whom God has blessed. One young man right in the middle of that service stood up foaming at the mouth. I didn't intend to get off on all this. Foaming at the mouth, having a convulsion. His parents were witch doctors. They'd been practicing their witchcraft on him. All the rest of his family's dead. They've killed all them. He's the only child left. Right in the middle. I'm teaching on the authority of the believer. There he is. I just said, in the name of Jesus, stop that. Come out of him. He shook his head, looked, and asked everyone, where am I? He started asking, where am I? In church. In church. What am I doing in church? He didn't even know he was there. But what the devil meant for good, bad, God turned to his good. Hallelujah. He left there that day born again, filled with the Spirit of God. Those witch, I've never told this part. They told me later, those witch doctors, they told him later, we came, but we couldn't get in. There was guards. We didn't have any guards. They said, we couldn't even get on the property. You had guards. We started to talk, and those guards pointed their finger at us, and they told us we couldn't even speak. We just turned around and went home. Hallelujah. There's power in the resurrection, folks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, turn over to Acts chapter 2. Now, you know, I like to trace these things through the early church to see, because we're part of the same church, right? We're not going to spend a whole lot of time here. We'll be done just a little bit. But here in Acts chapter 2, let's begin in verse 22. Peter, he says, "You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determining counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should hold him." Be held of it. Hallelujah. God raised him up. Notice how Peter pointed that up out. Now down in verse 32, he says it again. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Look over in chapter 3. Here, after this man, this lame man at the gate has been made whole, Peter says, "Not our holiness." Look at verse 13. He says, "The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, whom when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Notice this. The day of Pentecost, he's preaching the resurrection. They get called in later on, you know, after that, and he preaches the resurrection. Look over in chapter 4. Verse 10. "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole." Now this shows me something else. Really only had 2 points. Number one today is that the scriptures is what gives us the key and the evidence of the power of the resurrection and that Jesus is alive. But then number two here, look at this. "It is apparent to me then that it's by the name of Jesus, that this power is released in your and my life. By that name. I'm thinking back, it's rolling up in my spirit. When Brother Hagin prophesied in 1979, "These are those that do know that name. And by that name, take that name and set men's lives free. Know that name." Why? Because that name is great because of the resurrection. Because God raised Jesus from the dead. Because he set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places. He gave him a name that's above every other name. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10. We have the emblems before us here, not just of the shed blood of Jesus, thank God for that, not just of his broken body, but of not just the sacrifice, not just the penalty paid, but of the victory and the resurrection. Jesus, Paul said that it was given to him by the Lord. And then he said, "And as often as you do this as remembrance of him until he come." Well, if he's dead, he's not coming anywhere. He's staying put. But thank God our Jesus is alive. That's why someday he's coming. If I tell you I'm coming to your place, I have to be alive to do that, right? Jesus said, "I'm coming to your place. I'm coming again." Why? Because he's alive. He's alive right now. Romans 10, verse 9. "That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." The word "saved" there. Oh, thank God for Scofield's note. Scofield in Romans 1 verse 16 said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek." It is the power of God. What kind of power? The resurrection power of God unto salvation. Here he said, if you will say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Scofield points out, it doesn't just mean, it encompasses all that Jesus did, all that God wrought through the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, everything that has to do with redemption, not just being born again, not just eternity with God, but healing, soundness, preservation, safety, deliverance, all those things come into it. And if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be healed. You shall be delivered. You shall be kept safe. You shall be set free. Hallelujah. If you believe that Jesus is alive today, the power of the resurrection, having faith in the power of the resurrection. Hallelujah. God raised Jesus from the dead. We serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. Man, I got old hymns just running through my spirit right now. Glory to God. Have you met him? Have you met the risen Savior? Every head bowed, every eye closed. You might be in here today, you don't know him. You might be watching today, you don't know him. You haven't met the resurrected Christ. He's alive. I'm here to tell you today, by the authority of the scripture, that he's alive. You may not know him today. I beseech you, by the mercies of God today, be reconciled to God. He's not counting your sin against you. Will you believe today? Will you call upon him today? I want to pray with you today if that's you. You might be here today and you've known the Lord, but you've walked away from him. You want to declare publicly today, Lord, I'm not going my own way. I'm going to come back. I want to do your way. Live your life. You might be here today and, you know, you've been part of a church, and but you don't never know if you're accepted. I was that way for years. I was 19. I've raised in church all my life. I was 19 years old when I called upon the name of the Lord and became a Christian. But part of church all my life, I didn't know. I thought church membership was all I needed. You might be here today for that. Any of those invitations, you want to know Jesus. You believe he's raised from the dead. You've never met him. You want him today as your Savior and your Lord. You want to come back home, or you want to know so expert. You want to know for sure you're a Christian. I want to pray for you, but I want you to raise your hand right now so I'll know to pray for you. Anywhere in the auditorium, raise your hand. I want to know him. Got a hand over here. Yes, thank you. Whatever the reason may be, I want to know him. I want to come home to the Father's house. One got another hand. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I want to ask you to do one more thing, if you would, please. I want to ask you, if you raised your hand, as Pastor Hagin would say, if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to stand up right where you are. I want you to come down here in the front. I want to meet you right down here. I want to pray for you, just like I said I would. I want you to come now. I want you to come right now, if you would, please. Just stand up. Be bold. Now, everybody right now, ask the person next to you. Ask that person next to you. Do you need to go? I'll go with you. I'll come with you.
Jesus is waiting with open arms. So come just as you are.
Just come on right now. Hallelujah.
Just come as
just right here.
You
thank God.
Are.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we
still
really
with
doesn't
you.
Matter.
We have some more coming. Thank the Lord.
Jesus is waiting.
No one's too young, no one's too old. Come on. Come now.
So just
hallelujah.
Come. Just as you are. Jesus
amen.
Is waiting with open arms. So come on. Just as you are. Jesus is waiting.
Anybody else want to come?
With open
let me ask one more question. You're here today and you know Jesus, but you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. You've never been what we call baptized with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues, and you want that experience today. It's a biblical experience. I want you to come right now. You want that? You want to be filled with the Spirit of God? Hey, guys, welcome. Welcome. Let's go up here. There you go. Come on. Oh, come on. Give me some now. Come on now. There you go. Thanks for coming, you guys. There's more coming. There. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus Jesus is waiting with open arms.
Amen. Here's some more coming over here. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. The power of his resurrection.
Jesus is waiting.
Hallelujah. Good to have you.
Jesus is waiting with open arms.
Hallelujah. Welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for coming. I've got 3 books here, The New Birth in Him and Why Tongues. Yeah, we got more coming. Oh, there's some more over there. I'm going to get over here. You give me a high five? All right. Praise the Lord. I've got these 3 books here, and I want to do this as illustration. If I was going to give these to you, what would you have to do? Reach out and get them, right? You come over there and get those. Take all of them. All of you are going to get the same books, okay? So in the back there. But you have to reach out. What I want you about, just raise one hand right now to the Lord. I want you, you're saying, I'm reaching out to you, Lord, okay? I'm going to pray for you, just like we said, all right? Heavenly Father, let's reach your hands out this way, folks. Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every one of these that have come today, that every one of their spiritual needs will be met. The new birth, a no-so experience, a returning home, a filling of your Spirit. Father, we thank you today that each of them will experience the power of the resurrection in their life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you all do me a big favor, I want you to turn this way. You see that man right there? That's Brother Greg Finley. I want you to go to a special place of prayer with him. If you would, I'm going to make sure you get exactly what you came for. There'll be those to meet with you. Just follow there right now. All right, go with them. Amen. Give them a big hand clap as they go. Praise the Lord. Let's reach our hands that way. Father, we thank you today. We thank you today, Father God, for your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for these that have made this decision. They won't leave here like they came. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you're watching us and you made a decision today to do something, call that number on there. Let us know. Amen. And just receive Jesus. Just say, Jesus, you're my Lord. I believe God raised you from the dead. You're the Lord of my life. Let us know you made a decision today. Amen. Praise the Lord.